Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Thursday. And sadly, this episode will end this abbreviated week here on the show. Of course, it's been a shorter week. Wasn't here on Monday. Was out of town for that event in the Quad Cities, which actually is going to be protested on Sunday. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I didn't put it on Twitter or anything, but I had an event on Monday, which I talked about on Tuesday, and they're actually doing a big protest in the church where it was held on Sunday. So that's awesome. And then tomorrow I will be on Milo's show on Free Speech TV. I think they talked about maybe streaming it to YouTube or releasing it on YouTube afterward, so that people don't have to get on the paywall, but that's what I'll be doing tomorrow. So tonight's going to be ending our week. We don't even get to have a casual Friday. I don't get to be casual. We don't get to be cozy. We just have a very hardcore sort of a week. We don't get the sandwich mode, right? We don't get the Monday and the Friday bread. We just get the meat. We just get Tuesday through Thursday. But that's okay. It's going to be a good show. We've got a lot to talk about today. Some big news, of course, pertaining to impeachment. And I said yesterday, I hate talking about impeachment. I think it's boring. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's real. But there was a big development, so I would be remiss if we didn't spend some time discussing it. Of course, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, she announced that the Democrats are drafting articles of impeachment against the president, which is sort of a turning point. I can't say that phrase without thinking about Charlie Kirk, without thinking about little baby teeth and diapers. But it is a turning point in the impeachment process. This means that she has given the approval, she's given the green light to the Democratic Party, to the House Democrats to start drafting articles of impeachment. And that means that Trump is probably going to get impeached. Could happen before the end of the year, could happen before January 1st, 2020. So we'll be talking about what that means, what this process is going to look like, obviously analyze it, what's going on here, what's happening behind the scenes. You know, it's generally just my same take. This is why we don't follow it day to day. I mean, to me, we could kind of surmise everything that was going to happen when all this stuff began like 3 months ago, which is to say, we know what the playbook is from the Democrats. We know this, these allegations, whatever they're going to indict him on, whatever they're going to impeach him for is nonsense, but this is all just a big effort. It's all just a big sideshow to distract the administration, bog down the executive branch in this petty kind of stuff, legalese and whatnot. So we'll get into all of that. That'll be our featured story tonight. We'll also be talking about a rumor that this White House is sending 14,000 additional troops to the Middle East this month to counter Iran. Now, on this rumor, it sort of was announced and then defeated in the last 24 hours. So I first heard about this last night, and it seems like earlier today, the Pentagon basically shut this down, but we'll discuss it nevertheless. And the news is exactly, you know, what I just said. There's this rumor from unnamed White House sources that in order to counter Iran, who is allegedly developing long-range missile technology and nuclear weapons and things like that, you know, all this hysterical alarmism from Israel and from Jewish Zionists, we have to send thousands and thousands of more troops into the Middle East. And that's on top of the thousands we've already sent in this year to counter Iran over the summer. So although people have tried to shut down this rumor and say, no troops are being sent, we're kind of getting some mixed messages. Some unnamed officials say they're going in. The Pentagon spokesperson said they're not going in. Trump said we could send people in, we could not. So we'll look at all that. And that'll be the show. That'll be the current events that we'll get into. That's what we're going to explore tonight. And it should be some good stuff. Finally, some things are moving. Some things are happening. You know, last night, it's just like I'm doing my prep for the show and I'm scrambling. Now that the Groyper War is over, we just have to. And, you know, I will say a little something, by the way, about the Groyper War. If I was a cringe guy, I'd be milking this Groyper thing for everything it's worth. I'd still be talking about it. We'd still be pushing these guys. You're lucky that I have a lot of integrity and I'm a genius tactical leader, because I said after a couple or three or 4 weeks of Groyper Wars, I said, okay, We finished out this Culture War tour strong, and now it's time. Now it's time to finish it off. We had a good run. Let's end on a high note, and that's going to be it for the Groyper Wars. If I was some kind of dummy, if I was one of these, you know, sellouts or shills or whatever, I'd still be going to the Groyper War and trying to send it out to everybody. So it really is just a testament to my strategic brilliance and my integrity to the cause that it ran its course for the time, and we ended on a high note. It didn't get stale. It didn't get cringe, you know. We're doing our Groyper Leadership Summit. That's upcoming in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be sort of like the cherry on top. That is going to be a nice send-off for the year, but... And in all this is to say, you know, when we get nights like yesterday where there's no news, you remember that I could be milking this Groyper thing. We could be doing Groyper Wars every night and whatever. But I said, no, we can't spoil it. We can't make it stale. We have to end on a high note, and we have to, you know, return to business as usual to some extent. So just another reminder, Epic. Hello, Epic. But some other things before we get into the current events, I do want to talk about couple of housekeeping things. Number one, yes, tomorrow I will be on the Milo show, and it's going to be a good conversation. This was sort of a controversial thing. I know we've been getting some pushback from like Wignats and some haters, people that aren't trusting the plan. We have some plan not trusters that are getting very upset. A lot of people are excited to see the conversation, but you know, I'll say, as I've been saying for the past few weeks, what we seek to do if we want to make political change is to build coalitions. We want to bring allies on board. At the bare minimum, we want to have conversations with people and expose our ideas, expose ourselves to new audiences, right? And we want to bring aboard people who, even if they're not 100% with us on the views, and I understand, you know, in the case of Milo, I think this is something we're going to get into on the show tomorrow. I believe he's pro-Israel. Obviously he's not, I don't believe he's a racial realist as far as we are. And on the issue of homosexuality, well, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, technical difference there as well. So of course he doesn't align with us on the issues, but I do think it's a good conversation to have. You know, Milo, I think, is somebody who in 2016 was a very pivotal figure, and people can say what they want, but I think people would be dishonest if they didn't acknowledge the big cultural impact that he made on the right wing. You know, I was reading an article about this. I forget who wrote it. I think it was in Daily Wire. Maybe it was something else. DailyWire.com, DailyWire.name, something like that. I was reading an article from some website where they talked about how, you know, everybody wants to talk about their libertarian phase, how they came to these views, but nobody wants to talk about the Milo phase. You know, I'll admit, I stand Milo. When I was in high school, I remember being in study hall my junior year of high school, or my sophomore year of high school, and reading through his article on the sexodus. Do you remember this? The sex exodus, talking about how MGTOW is happening and men's rights is happening and feminists are, you know, ruining marriage and things like that. That was sort of like my introduction to a lot of this cultural stuff. All of this is to say, I think he's a very important figure, big reach. I think whether we agree 100% or not on the issues, and I think there is a lot of overlap, I think it's a good conversation to have. So I think people will be pleasantly surprised with the conversation. Of course, there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people that are not trusting the plan. But, you know, I'll say this. Have I been wrong so far? You know, this year, 2019, do you remember what I said the first show of the year back in January? I declared a fatwa against Conservative Inc. And look how far we've come in 1 year. You have to trust the plan. You've got to trust the plan. You know, in a year's time, look at all we've done in this year. Watch and see where we'll be in 1 year. I think a lot of people regret if they didn't trust the plan. But in any case, I don't want to make the haters cast a shadow on what will be, I think, a very, very good content, a good conversation. But I do want to address that because I know there are people that are going to use this as ammunition and say, oh, you know, this means that he's a hypocrite or whatever. We seek allies. We want our views to become mainstream. Is that not the objective, right? We want our views to become mainstream. That is what we want. That is a good thing that mainstream figures are having conversations with people like us that are talking about certain issues, which, you know, I don't want to make it a soundbite, but you know what we talk about on the show. So in any case, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good appearance. So that's happening tomorrow. Of course, the Groyper Summit is happening. It's going to be 2 weeks from tomorrow, December 20th. It's going to be not next Friday, but the Friday after that. We are still taking applications. If you look at the flyer, it's on my Twitter, it's on my Telegram if you want to find all the information for that. But you just have to send an email to, not my email account. Some people have emailed me. Don't email me. There's a Proton Mail account that you have to email on the flyer, which, regrettably, I don't have it in front of me right now. But you can find the flyer on my Telegram or Twitter. We're still taking applications. We have over 300. We've gotten over 300 emails, and we announced it, I think, like 48 hours ago or 72 hours ago. The application's only been up for 2 or 3 days, and we've already gotten more than 300 applications from people expressing interest in coming to the event. So if you are interested, if you're a Groiper, if you're a question asker, if you're a friend of the show, something like that, be sure to send an email to that Proton Mail account, and if you want some kind of a registration form to fill out. It's going to be a hot event. I know, you know, as with everything in the past 8 weeks or so, we've been getting haters from every angle, you know, sniping from our own side, but I got to tell you, it's going to be a hot event. It's going to be fun. We're going to be live streaming speeches from me, Jake Lloyd, Patrick Casey. There's going to be a lot of the question askers there, and it's going to be a fun time. I think a lot of people are going to be FOMO if they don't attend. It's the same thing with Miami. You know, we had that event in Miami in late September, and I remember a lot of people, as every time you try to do an event, every time you try and get out there and do something, you know, you always get people, well, but Nick, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? Whatever. And the event in Miami went off without a hitch. Everybody who went said it was like the best time of their life. It was like a serious moment I'll never forget, and people who are there will never forget the energy. I think it'll be something very similar in 2 weeks. So be sure to send out an email. You know, it's getting very close to the date. We wanted to announce early enough that people could make travel accommodations, and it wasn't a huge inconvenience, but late enough where, you know, we would have some kind of an element of surprise. Now, obviously, we're announcing it weeks in advance, but, you know, it's late enough where I don't think they could mount some kind of serious counterattack or whatever. So it should be a good time. And then before we dive into the current events, one other thing I want to talk about is this YouTube Rewind. Did anybody see this today? For the boomers, for people that aren't following the online stuff very much, for the people that aren't very online like most of the audience is, every year YouTube does these Rewind videos where it's like a year in review. You know, Spotify came out with their Spotify Wrapped today as an example. All the major, I guess, platforms do this year-end celebration where, you know, they show top content, whatever. So every year YouTube does this video where they make a 5-minute compilation, or I think sometimes it's been a little bit longer, where they rewind and they have all the biggest YouTube celebrities and they go over all the big, you know, trends and fads and videos and YouTube moments and whatever. And if you remember last year, they did the YouTube Rewind, and I think it was the most disliked video in YouTube history. And it's made by YouTube. You know, understand, YouTube, the company, they commission this video. They hire people, they bring in the big creators, and them, on their own platform, they are responsible for the most disliked video, the worst video in YouTube history. And so this year, there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of hype. They put out a tweet the other day where they said, oh, our Rewind video is coming out tomorrow. And yes, there is a dislike button and blah, blah, blah. They were very confident. You know, they said to themselves, oh, we've made it better. We're going into this with high expectations. And it was terrible. It was horrible. I don't know if you guys watched the video, but it was like 5 minutes. And it was just like a top 10 video. You know, last year it was horrible because it was hyper-political. It was like drag queens and homos, and it was, you know, it gets better and all this kind of thing, and hardcore left-wing political messaging, and everybody hates that. You know, I mean, so there's conversations you could have about this get woke, go broke. I don't know if that's legitimate, but I think everybody agrees that this hardcore left-wing agenda being pushed by big tech, like, nobody likes it. And you always see it whenever there is sort of a popular forum. You know, for example, when YouTube puts out this video last year, and it's drag queens and whatever, and there's a like and a dislike button, they really can't hide from the fact that the masses hate this stuff, you know? Even if they are left-leaning or normies or moderates, nobody likes the hyper left-wing partisan messaging from these companies, particularly when it's supposed to be just like a year-end wrap-up, you know? It's not even like that was an occasion to be political. It's just supposed to be something fun and silly and whatever, and they inject all this shit into it. Nobody likes that. And this year they did away with that by making the video completely uncontroversial, by not actually really having any content at all. You know, they said, oh, okay, if people don't like hyper left-wing messaging, then let's make a video that doesn't really have any original content at all. And so I think they did like the top 10 most liked videos and the top 10 new creators, and they did the top 10 music videos and the top 10 video gaming streams. And so it was just like a Watch Mojo video. You know, it's like one of these Machinima top 10 videos. And to me, this kind of says something about where YouTube is at. It says something where media is at, where the corporate world is at. They're saying basically, you can either have hardcore left-wing messaging or you just don't make any content at all. There is no other option. They can find no way to appeal to normal people anymore. They cannot sit down, you know, in their studio, in their writer's room or whatever, and they have lost the ability to draft original content that is not hardcore left-wing and that simply appeals to normal people. Or maybe it has, maybe it's not even right-wing, but maybe it's irreverent. You know, maybe they take risks and real risks. Not like, oh, they're so brave for pushing transgenderism. Maybe there's edgy humor in there. They've lost the ability to do this. They sat down this year and they said, oh, well, they didn't like the drag queens. Let's just scrap all original content altogether and we'll just make it a top 10. You know, we'll just make it 10-second bits of other people's content that other people liked. And, you know, if they don't like drag queens, I guess this is good enough, you know? So to me, it's kind of a statement on where these people are. It just goes to show how people have just lost their minds in this corporate world, you know, in the broader, I guess in this case, it's like Silicon Valley, but I think it's across the board. In mainstream media, corporations, and government, they've really just lost their minds. They've completely lost the vast majority of the country, because that is the message. The message is, if we can't fill it with our propaganda, if we can't fill it with our messaging, we have no idea what to give you. We're paralyzed. We have no idea what they want. We have no idea how to give people something that they're going to like. So either it's drag queens or it's just going to be a top 10. And you know, to me, this is a very simple problem to solve. If they were watching the horrible reaction last year, and the reaction was pretty unanimous, it was, stop with the messaging. Stop with the obvious, artificial, blatant political messaging, and, you know, just give us something good. And these people in the writer's room are scratching their heads thinking, we can't please anybody. We can never please anybody. No matter what we do, people are going to dislike it. No. Just sit down, look at the year 2019, and make a YouTube rewind that just has the stuff that people like. Fortnite, Logan Paul and KSI, PewDiePie, I don't know, The Dab. The Dab is kind of dated at this point, but you get what I'm saying. Just get all the hot trends, the memes, the best content creators for 2019, bring them together in a video in something that isn't cringe. It's not hard. And just don't put in fucking drag queens. Why is this complicated? Apologies for the language, but it's true. It's like across the board with the movies, the television shows, the advertisements. All these people are wondering, oh, we just can't please anybody anymore. Everything is so polarized. It's not complicated. Get PewDiePie, get Mr. Beast. Maybe engage with the creators on the platform. Maybe they can give you some ideas. And make something that isn't hyper-partisan. Make something that isn't, like, completely safe and totally sterilized and corporate. And just give people the best of 2019. I don't know why it's complicated. You know, if it were up to me to do a 2019 compilation, I would make a... If it were me, I'm a streamer. I would do a stream, and I would play the top games from 2019. I'd play Fortnite or PUBG or Call of Duty, whatever. And I'd listen to the top music from 2019. Maybe the most viral videos, whatever. People would love that, right? Not hard, but I'm sort of repeating myself. You get the point. These people are just, these people are so far gone. They're so lost. But anyway, that's a YouTube rewind. It's already, the ratio is pretty bad. The last time I looked at it, it was something like 350,000 likes and over 500,000 dislikes. And this is what's going to happen. You know, for all the people that are going to say that we are terrible, racist, fringe, right-wing, nut jobs, whatever, this is the kind of country that we're going to get. You know, for all that people can say that we're fringe or they can hate on Donald Trump or hate on the right wing, this is what we're going to get. And nobody's going to be happy with it, right? These are the social media overlords that are going to run our country and run the world. And nobody likes them, but yet everybody's complacent in the mass bannings and the purges and the smears and everything else. Do you kind of get what I'm saying there? But anyway, that's YouTube Rewind. It sucks. What else is new? They're purging all the good content. Good content is going to die. You know, everybody knows that. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the news a little bit here. We're going to dive into our current events with this announcement from unnamed officials. I'll read you a report from The Hill about these troops that are going to be sent into the Middle East. It says, quote, the Trump administration is looking into sending as many as 14,000 more troops, as well as dozens more ships and other equipment to the Middle East in the face of a growing threat from Iran, the Wall Street Journal reported. U.S. officials told the journal that President Trump could decide on such a force increase, which would double the number of U.S. military personnel in the region as soon as this month. A smaller U.S. deployment could also happen, according to the same officials. And it's very interesting the way this is phrased. It says to counter a growing threat from Iran. Whenever we talk about the Middle East, it is worth reminding everybody that there is zero threat posed to us by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Does Iran border our country? No. Is Iran in the same hemisphere as our country? No. Is Iran a rich country? Does it have a strong military? Do they have a nuclear arsenal? The answer to all three of those questions is no. Can they reach us with a missile? Can they reach us with a naval vessel? Can their armed forces reach us in America? No. So what exactly is the threat posed by Iran? Every time this conversation happens, whether the troops are going in or they're not, whether it's an unnamed source that's lying or it's legitimate, you know, whether the president's A-B testing in the media, whether they send them in or they don't, to me is kind of irrelevant to drive home the fundamental point, which is we have to break the neocon conditioning that has been put in place over the last 30 years, which is that tiny, tiny countries thousands of miles away pose a threat to us and therefore justify these massive engagements by U.S. ground troops. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm the first one to say that I am a believer in realpolitik. I am a foreign policy realist. And I understand that even though Iran doesn't pose a threat to the United States directly, we do still have foreign policy interests in the Middle East. You know, for example, we do have an interest in stabilizing oil prices. We do have an interest in protecting our allies, as dubious as those allies are, you know, and we could get into that conversation, but I'm not naive. I understand that we have foreign policy interests in the Middle East. Now, that said, every time we talk about Iran or Syria or Iraq or any of these other countries that we've invaded or struck or whatever, the conversation is, again, it's always this breathless hysteria, alarmism about nuclear weapons, fanatical mullahs, the Ayatollah, all this. That has to be put to rest. At the beginning of every conversation of foreign policy, in my opinion, we have to acknowledge that we have a lot more threats within our country, to our country, than Middle Eastern countries that threaten Israel. When they say that we have to counter a growing threat from Iran, what they're really talking about is not a threat from Iran to the United States, but the growing threat that Iran poses to Israel. You know, so in a certain sense, the wording is correct. It says we have to send in more troops to counter a growing threat from Iran. Well, I mean, it's true. Iran is a growing threat, but it's not to Americans or to America. It is a threat to Israel and to Israelis. And, you know, this kind of gets to the fundamental point that we raised during the Groyper Wars. I've heard from people that there are some immigration hawks, there are some America Firsters who like what the Groypers have been doing, who like what the America Firsters have been doing in these Q&A sessions, but they don't like that we're talking about Israel. I've heard this from a lot of people. They say, well, we're on board with you, but I don't know why you would want to criticize Israel. I hear this from a lot of Zionists, like Jacob Wall and Laura Loomer have been calling me out on Telegram, indirectly, in some cases directly. Why do you have to attack Israel? Well, this is why. It's just like we talked about 2 weeks ago. There was an article in the New York Times by Brett Stevens, who used to write for the Jerusalem Post and is a Jewish Zionist, it's worth noting. And he said that Israel cannot be safe in a world where America First runs the United States. He said Israel cannot be safe in an America First world. We heard from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal said this today, that America is going to put more troops in the Middle East, partly at the behest of Israel. So this is not me saying this. This is not something that I cooked up, you know, when I was browsing 4chan in the dark, in the basement, right? Like they try to portray on television. This was not a fever dream that I had while I was wearing a tinfoil hat. This is from the Wall Street Journal. This is from John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt when they wrote The Israel Lobby. This is from Brett Stevens, a Zionist himself, writing for the New York Times. This is Ben Shapiro. This is American Jewish Zionists who are saying that America has to send people to fight and die in the Middle East. We have to spend trillions of dollars to counter threats to a foreign nation. And how can you be America First if you believe that we should spend trillions of dollars and sacrifice thousands of American lives to protect a foreign nation? I don't care what foreign nation it is. I don't care if it's Japan. I don't care if it's South Korea. I don't care if it's Germany or Poland. America should not be spending money and sending people to die to defend foreign nations. It seems, however, that the only one that that's happened to in the past two decades is Israel. You know, people say, why are you fixated on this country? Gee, Nick, why are you so concerned about Israel? They do this like concern trolling. They play dumb and they act like they don't salute Israel at every event. You say, why is it that you have such a hang-up with this country? Are you anti-Semitic by any chance? It's like, no. But the only country that we're giving this enormous aid, I mean, it's obscene how much money, the largesse that we give to them, the largest recipient of foreign aid since 1978, and the only country that we've defended in two ground wars in this century is that one. You know, newsflash, we didn't fight two ground wars a century for Japan. We didn't fight two ground wars this century for Poland or for France or for Brazil. We fought them for Israel at the behest of neocons and Zionists. So, you know, again, worth reminding everybody. I know we've got some new people that have come over since Groyper Wars. A lot of that is sort of entry-level stuff, but it's worth reminding everybody whenever this conversation happens, we have to send troops to counter the growing threat from Iran. The threat to whom exactly? Because I can tell you, I'm unbothered by Iran. When I drive downtown to Chicago, my threat is not from Iran. It is from the new Americans, right? That Bill Kristol says are better than native-born Americans. So I think we have to really reassess our priorities when it comes to, you know, growing threats to America. There's a much bigger threat in drug cartels, big pharma, the big agriculture lobby, the open borders lobby, immigrants themselves, than there is from Iran. But in any case, it says the announcement was followed quickly by, this is from earlier. It says when asked if he was going to be sending more troops to the Middle East, Trump said on Thursday, there might be a threat. And if there is a threat, it will be met very strongly, but we'll be announcing whatever we may be doing, may or may not be doing. And then a Pentagon press secretary, Alyssa Farah, said on Twitter, quote, the U.S. is not sending 14,000 troops to the Middle East to confront Iran. So to me, it's sort of mixed messaging. We've got these unnamed officials from the Wall Street Journal that say 14,000 troops are going in. We've got a Pentagon spokeswoman who says 14,000 troops are not going into the Middle East. And then we've got the president himself who says, well, if there is a threat, we're going in. And if there's not a threat, we're not. But we'll tell you what we're doing. So I don't really know what to believe. You know, I would like to believe that 14,000 troops are not going in. And if I were a betting man, I would say that probably 14,000 troops are not going in. That said, this is not the first time that this has been announced this year, and the last time it was announced, it happened. They announced over the summer, after that little row in the Persian Gulf over the Strait of Hormuz, that 1,500 troops went into Saudi Arabia. You know, that happened this year. After Trump announced that we were pulling out of Syria, we announced the introduction of hundreds of more troops into Syria. After about 1,000 left the country, that were going to be sent in to protect oil refineries in the northeast of the country. So honestly, I don't really know what to believe. I'd like to tell you that the spokeswoman is correct and the troops aren't going in, or that if troops are going in, it won't be 14,000. But it's not the first time that they've announced troop deployments in the Middle East this year in response to the so-called growing threat from Iran. And to me, I have sort of mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, the obvious takeaway is this. The president campaigned in 2016 and 2015 on pulling troops out of the Middle East. And so every time troops stay in the Middle East, or worse yet, more of them go in, it's hard not to say that he's betrayed us. It's hard not to say that he betrayed the promise he made, which was to end wars, not expand them. And we know that when he got into office, after he got sworn in 2017, one of the first things he did was a troop surge in Afghanistan. He doubled the amount of troops in Afghanistan from 7,000 to 14,000. And we know that the presence in Syria has remained the same. We know that the presence in Iraq has dwindled slightly. We know that we've sent more troops in to Saudi Arabia. We know that we retain a presence in Yemen, even though the troops in Yemen are not fighting Al-Qaeda. They're fighting Houthi rebels. So to me, my initial takeaway whenever this happens, and I'm sure this is a no-brainer, this is a knee-jerk from everybody, is if troops are going in and not going out, that's a problem. Because the president promised that we were ending the wars, that the troops are coming home, and I don't see that happening. Now, on the other hand, the realist in me says, you know, 1,500 troops was the initial deployment this year. Is that the end of the world? Is that the biggest deployment ever? Is that really even something that's going to change the equation on the ground? No. 1,500 troops is not a lot. If you look at our deployments overseas, we've got 1,000 troops in Syria. We deployed 1,500 to Saudi Arabia. I think we've got less than 1,000 in Yemen. We've got something like 5,000 in Iraq. I think the presence in Afghanistan has returned to the levels before Trump got inaugurated. Do we have a huge presence in the Middle East? 14,000 troops, is that a lot? You know, for reference, I think we have 16,000 troops in Italy. Now, that said, you know, we have to sort of balance these considerations. Is it the end of the world? Is it the worst thing in the world? No. Does this mean imminent war with Iran? No. You know, is 1,500 troops a game changer? If he deployed 14,000, that would obviously be a much bigger difference, but I think that's highly unlikely. But I have to say, it's just very disappointing. We're 2.5 years in. Almost, well, and it's actually much closer to 3 years into the administration. And what really can we say in concrete terms have we gained? What is the difference since Trump got into office on foreign policy, on immigration? And I know that there have been some changes. I know that some progress has been made, but is it anywhere near what was promised? Is it satisfactory? Is it adequate? Can we say that if Trump leaves office after one term, that he'll have really made a difference? If after Trump leaves office and a Democrat gets into the White House in 2021, will we have any evidence that Donald Trump was ever president after Democrat gets in and starts making changes on day one with executive orders? I don't think there will be any evidence that he was ever president. What really has been the change? You know, some minor changes in the troop levels overseas, a slight detente with Russia, if you could even say it's much better than Hillary Clinton. Oh, we didn't go to war with Russia. Well, I mean, is that really... that's some consolation, I guess. How about with North Korea? Are we really any better? Or did we kind of just go back to square one, you know, from maybe 5 or 10 years ago? Well, you know, we started a rapprochement. Really no progress has been made. Again, I guess we didn't go to war with North Korea. Did anything really get solved? Is it not going to revert to exactly the same status quo that existed before Donald Trump? If somebody gets into office after Donald Trump, you know, in other words, if Mike Pence gets back in, if Mike Pence gets in, or a similar rhino gets in, if a Democrat gets into the White House, are they not going to simply just go back to the way things were before Trump got into office? Is anything that he's done irreversible, a systemic change in American policy? Maybe our orientation towards China, I think that's maybe the most positive development. This is something I think that was written about by Darren Beatty in American Greatness. It's one of these things that nobody will acknowledge, that Trump completely changed our posture towards China. You know, whereas before, it was sort of a partisan thing. People questioned whether Trump was right to go after China. Now, across the board, everybody is a China hawk, which is a positive development. Other than that, other than some of the trade stuff, maybe some new replacement wall going up, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a lot of really significant changes. And people can throw up, I get this all the time from these MAGApedes that are still hardcore on the Trump train. They'll still throw up a list and they'll say, well, you know, he got us out of the Paris Climate Accords, or, you know, he had deregulation, he had a tax cut. Just about everything that you could give me is either not really a huge America First priority, or it's something that either isn't actually a big deal or it didn't even happen. You know, for example, they'll always list the Paris Climate Accords. We're still not out of the Paris Climate Accords. They still didn't even file the paperwork, right? They say, well, he deregulated the economy. Is that something that Ted Cruz wouldn't have done? Is that something that Marco Rubio wouldn't have done? That's a Heritage Agenda priority. That's an American Enterprise Institute agenda item. You know, that is not the America First agenda. I mean, deregulation is a good thing. I'm not going to say it's bad, but is that really why we campaigned for him? Is that what made Donald Trump different and distinguished him from everybody else? Yeah, no. So, I don't know. I mean, that said, you know, I'm not saying don't vote for the guy, because, of course, what's the alternative? But all of that said, you know, look, we got to get real when it comes to foreign policy. It's not what it needs to be. What is going on with my hair? It's just not really cooperating tonight. But that's the troop deployment. Like I said, I don't think 14,000 troops are going in, but I think we really have to ask the tough questions, which is not necessarily about another troop deployment. It's, even if there is no troop deployment, are we winning on foreign policy? Absolutely not. And in the bigger picture, what is this framing on this growing threat from Iran? Yeah, that has to be put to bed. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk a little bit about impeachment. I don't want to spend too much time on this because it is boring and gay. But we do have a big announcement today. Nancy Pelosi, she announced that we have drafted, or the Democrats are drafting, articles of impeachment against the president. This is according to BBC. It says, quote, Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House of Representatives will file impeachment charges against U.S. President Donald Trump for alleged abuse of power. She said, quote, Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act. Mr. Trump said Democrats have gone crazy and urged them to move quickly if they were going to impeach him. Democrats say Trump corruptly made military aid to Ukraine conditional on Ukraine investigating his rival Joe Biden. The California congresswoman told Thursday morning's news conference, quote, The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and a crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement for an investigation into his political rival. She added, quote, Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders, and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. Oh, yeah, confidence and humility, love for America and the founding fathers. Okay. An impeachment vote might take place in the House of Representatives before the end of the year, and a trial in the Senate perhaps as early as January 2020. Mr. Trump tweeted shortly before Mrs. Pelosi's remarks, quote, If you are going to impeach me, do it now, fast, so we can have a fair trial in the Senate and so that our country can get back to business. The impeachment process began in September after an anonymous whistleblower complained to Congress about a July phone call by Mr. Trump to the president of Ukraine, in which Mr. Trump appeared to tie U.S. military assistance to Ukraine launching investigations, which could help him politically. Democrats say Mr. Trump dangled two bargaining chips to Ukraine, $400 million of military aid, and a White House meeting for Ukrainian President Zelensky to obtain investigations. They think this alleged pressure on a vulnerable U.S. ally constitutes an abuse of power. The first investigation Mr. Trump wanted from Ukraine was into former Vice President Joe Biden, his main Democratic challenger, and his son Hunter. Hunter Biden joined the board of a Ukrainian energy company when his father was U.S. vice president. The second Trump demand was that Ukraine should try to corroborate a conspiracy theory that Ukraine, not Russia, had interfered in the last U.S. presidential election And, you know, BBC had some editorializing there about how that's not true, that was debunked, whatever. But we basically know what's been going on, okay? I don't want to go over all the minutiae. I don't care about the details. The details don't matter. It's a bunch of crap. We went over this back in September. The whistleblower came forward and said, Trump told the Ukrainian president that, you know, as I just went over, unless he investigates Hunter Biden, we're not going to give them the $400 million in military aid. So the whistleblower filed a complaint. You know, he made a memo, that is the complaint, about a phone call. Donald Trump released the transcript of the phone call, which was the subject of the whistleblower complaint. And if you read through the transcript of the phone call, that's what all of this is about. There is no mention of a quid pro quo. There's no mention of tying foreign aid to investigations. An investigation is brought up very separately. Foreign aid is brought up and in a very subtle way. You know, nowhere in the transcript of the phone call, which was released in full months ago, can you find an explicit, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? Beyond a reasonable doubt, could you find the president guilty of abuse of power, bribery, anything like that? It just doesn't exist. Now, after that transcript came out of the phone call, they said, well, release the whistleblower complaint. And they released the whistleblower complaint. And surprise, surprise, the whistleblower didn't even hear the phone call. The whistleblower had heard about it secondhand. So to me, this whole thing should start and stop with that. If that's what this is about, a phone call, which, and by the way, I think even if what they were saying is true about the phone call, that there was this deal in the works, that Trump's, you know, he might have suggested that he would withhold foreign aid in exchange for investigations, I don't even think that's a crime. Because understand, the president, you know, what is the jurisdiction, what is the responsibility of the president of the United States? If you read the Constitution, the role of the president is to be essentially the chief law enforcement officer in the country. The president is asked with executing the laws. He is the executive. So his job is to be the executor of the law. You know, specifically, if we're talking about politicians conducting foreign policy, that is his function. That is his responsibility. If national or federal politicians, you know, if people in our Congress or people in a previous White House are colluding with foreign governments, it is his job, you know, either through his attorney general or through his office, to seek justice. It is also his role in conducting foreign affairs with other nations to discuss this with foreign governments. So even if what the Democrats were saying is true, that some kind of deal was in the works, that he was applying pressure to try and get them to investigate, I don't think there's anything illegal about that to begin with. Nevertheless, there was no such deal. If you read the transcript from which all of this is sprouted, nowhere in the transcript can you find a quid pro quo, an explicit deal. It would even be hard to infer that that kind of suggestion was made by the president in this phone call. In spite of the transcript being released, they relied on the whistleblower who didn't even hear the phone call. I don't know how that makes any sense. And since this, they've launched this whole investigation. And now, just like with Russia, the investigation is not simply about the call itself, the crime that was being committed, the alleged crime that was being investigated to begin with. But now it is expanded into the process itself. And so now they're saying, well, okay, maybe if it's very tenuous to say that he was trying to bribe a foreign government, maybe it's very tenuous to say he was abusing his power, well, we'll say that he was obstructing justice, because in the process of investigating this non-issue, in the process of investigating a crime that didn't happen, well, there was some impropriety in how the White House conducted itself in the course of this investigation. It's all nonsense. Everybody knows it's all BS. And we know what the end game is here. You know, with the Russia hoax, and just like with Ukraine, a lot of people have a lot of theories about this. It's a coup. It's, you know, what they're trying to remove him from office. They're trying to get him to not run. I've heard everything from boomers. I've heard all this from whatever, from mainstream pundits. It's really not complicated. This is what we said the night after the midterm elections last year. The Democrats gained control of the House in November 2018, and what we said last year was the worst thing about this is now that the Democrats control the House, as opposed to them being a minority in both the House and the Senate, They have control of the committees, and more importantly, they will be able to launch these very onerous investigations that will require a lot of resources from the White House. The end game is very simply to grind the administration to a halt, stop the legislative agenda, and tie up so many resources from the White House that even the executive branch is paralyzed and cannot act on some of these bigger policy issues. You know, for example, how can Trump get infrastructure through the Congress when you've got this impeachment trade going on? You can't. How can Trump put together a grand bargain between Israel and Palestine while he's being impeached? Can't do it. How can Trump put together a grand bargain on immigration or on trade or anything else while he's being investigated, while he'll have to stand trial, you know, maybe next month? Won't be able to happen. And these people, you know, these Democrats in the House, I think it was John Lewis, said there's no limits how many times we can impeach this president. So it doesn't matter if he's guilty. It really, and this is why I've avoided talking about it. It's all a charade. They know it's fake. We know it's fake. It is a very naked and tactical political decision to launch these big investigations, just basically flood the zone, fill up the pipes, shit up the whole system with this partisan stuff, clog up the media, clog up the government, whatever, so that this administration is ground to a halt and is on its heels, defensive against these attacks until the election. And really, there's not a whole lot that the Trump administration can do because Trump is standing trial. So what are you going to do? Not fight off a legal challenge to you being the president? I mean, you have to participate. If they're issuing subpoenas, if they're drafting articles, if they're indicting, when they impeach, there will be a trial in the Senate. They will have to have lawyers. They'll have to have counsel and so on. You cannot simply ignore this. You cannot simply pivot from this and not talk about it. You know, the Democrats have control of the House and they also have control of the media. So he's really between a rock and a hard place here on this one. And to me, that's the story. So where we go from here is the Democrats will draft the articles of impeachment. And this is like an indictment. Articles of impeachment are just different charges that they're making against the president. You know, I think what they're going to charge him with is bribery, abuse of power, obstruction of justice, and I think possibly one other charge. So those are the articles of impeachment. They'll be drafted in a committee. The House of Representatives will vote on the articles, and what the vote says is, are they going to charge him? Are they going to indict him on these charges? And they'll go item by item, article by article, and if an article gets a simple majority vote from the House, then he is indicted on that charge. He is impeached. So they'll go down and they'll vote on abuse of power. They'll vote on bribery. They'll vote on obstruction of justice. If a simple majority in the House of Representatives votes in favor of the articles, then the president is impeached. Again, it's a common misconception. People think to be impeached means to be removed from office. That's not true. To be impeached means to be charged. It means to be, it means to be indicted. So they're indicting him. It will then go to the Senate for a trial. There will be a trial. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court will preside over the trial. There will be arguments made by the Democrats, and the White House will have lawyers and defense and counsel. And then there will be a vote in the Senate at the conclusion of the trial. And if 2/3 of the Senate votes to convict the president on these charges, on these indictments, on the articles of impeachment, if 2/3 vote in favor, then he is removed from office. And that's where we go from here. Now, of course, everybody knows the House is controlled by the Democrats and the Senate is controlled by the Republicans. So it's very, I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to impeach him. I assume they'll be able to. I've been following, you know, where the number game is at. Do they have the votes or not? But obviously, if the Democrats have a majority in the House, and it's a simple majority to impeach, to indict, they'll be able to impeach him, probably no problem. But then it gets kicked over to the Senate, where we have a majority. We have, I think, a 52-seat majority in the Senate. And in any case, the Democrats would need a 2/3 majority to convict. They don't even have a simple majority. They've got 48 votes. So they would need, what would that be, 18 Republicans to flip, 18 Republicans to come over, which is highly unlikely. You know, it's possible that they could pull, Is Justin Amash a senator or representative? It's possible they could pull some kind of a Rhino. It's possible they could pull some kind of Mitt Romney maybe would come over. But they're not going to get to 18. And that just goes to show you how bogus it is. Their end game is not to remove him from office. They know they can't do that. The Senate would never convict this president unless something drastically changes, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's really plausible that the Republicans will convict him. He's not going to get removed from office. All that'll happen is a very lengthy public trial that will polarize the country. It'll activate the Democrat side. It will shit up the agenda for the president. It'll tie up his resources while the election is going on. You know, so while Pete Buttigieg and Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden are hitting the campaign trail, Donald Trump will be tied up in this lengthy court battle. That's the end game. That's what's going to happen. And we didn't get a timeline today from Nancy Pelosi of when these articles of impeachment will be voted on, when it'll get kicked over to the Senate. Mitch McConnell has said that he will bring it to the floor. They will hold the trial. So we don't know what that timeline could look like. It could happen in January. I think if the Democrats were smart, they'd have it play out like well into the summer so that it can really eat up a lot of the president's time to campaign. But that's all this is. Nothing else really, literally nothing else matters. I don't know why people are so obsessed with the details, and you've got these like political yuppies. I haven't come up with like a good term for them, but these people where for them, this is like sports. This is like the playoffs of, you know, football. This is like those playoffs for football games. They're just the back and forth, the tit for tat. Oh, so-and-so said something today. Matt Gaetz said this. Chaffetz said this today. And you know, today, Nancy Pelosi said this. Oh, big OIG report today. Who fucking cares? It's all a bunch of crap. None of it's real. Apologies for the language, but I mean, that's how I feel about it. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see what happens. We'll see when these articles of impeachment get finished or when they're voted on. And we'll be back with an update then. But we're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our Super Chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all of this. Pretty lame stuff. Pretty lame story. We've got Chris Russo who says, first. Okay, congratulations. Local politician says, I'm doing prep work for the big event, Nick says, as he repeatedly practices the dance routine from Arthur's Walk-On at the Murray Franklin show. You know, every time I watch Joker, I do try and, like, memorize some of the moves. You know, that's why my Joker dance was so good on one of those Q&A streams. It's because I've seen the movie 7 times now. And every time I watch it, I'm sort of, like, choreographing in my head the different moves that he's doing. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll go on Milo. And I'll be sitting there smoking a cigarette while he's making fun of me. He's playing my clip. Get a load of this, Joker. Hey, Milo. One more thing, Milo. Would you bring me out? Can you introduce me as Nicker? Let's see. Some faggot says, Jared Holt sent a threat to the Groypers yesterday. Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I don't know. Jared Holt really shouldn't be making threats. I'll just say that much. I mean, do you really want to be threatening us? I don't think so. You know, Jared Holt, he saw that picture I posted in D.C. I don't know why he thinks he's in a position to be making threats. Very funny little guy. Let's just say he won't be laughing if he thinks he's going to mess with our event. That's not a threat. That's just a promise. Dumbledore says, this is really cringe. If we could get the Harry Potter stuff out of here, that'd be great. Let's see. The Red says, Nick, what's your favorite dinosaur? I don't have a favorite dinosaur. I don't believe in dinosaurs. Poor says, thoughts on Mark Dice. Have you read his books? No, I haven't read his books. He seems okay, but he won't follow me back on Twitter, so that's pretty cringe. Local politician says, Fuentes doesn't understand the most basic lesson of Judaism. Diversity is good. For Israel, too, Rabbi, very cool. Wow, very base take, bro. But yeah, that literally was written about me in one of these Quad City papers. Elevated Squirrel says, in your feed last night, you mentioned something about distributism. As I look more into this, I wonder how this could be enforced. Hashtag 3 acres and a cow. Hashtag you're gay. Hashtags are dumb. In my feed last night. I don't know what feed you're talking. I said it on my show. I don't know what feed you're talking about. How could distributism be enforced? I don't know what you mean by that. Kind of a silly question. Let's see. Lane says, will you cover the attack on freedom in Virginia? We're off to a great start with Super Chats. Currently, 30 counties have declared themselves 2A sanctuaries, and there are several rallies taking place as people defend their state. God bless America. The attack on freedom. It's not an attack on freedom. It's an attack on our people. I'm so sick of this. Attack on our freedom. Attack on our freedom. It's such a, like, just asinine thing to say. I really... What's more concerning is the attack on our civilization, the attack on our people, the attack on our nation. No, I haven't been following this 2A sanctuary thing in Virginia. I saw a story about it somewhere, but I didn't read it. But, no, I don't know. Will you cover the attack on freedom in Virginia? I mean, talking like this, I don't know what you're trying to achieve. Crumble Bob says, favorite country to play as in Civ 5 besides America? I don't actually like to play as America in Civ 5. I like to play as Rome because you can build roads with legions, and you can also build buildings in half the time if you have them built in your capital. I like to play as India because they have, what is it, minus 50% unhappiness for population size. I like, what else? There's some other good ones, but those are probably two of my favorites. Let's see. Maga Zog says, did you see the most based Chad Christmas commercial ever made? I just ordered my own Peloton bike today, and I blocked the girl who wanted to go out with me this weekend because she wasn't thin enough. I didn't see the commercial, but I did read a little bit about how people were upset about it. I don't know. Is that really based? Are we really going to settle for that? You know, a $2,000 bike? Eh. And that's good. That's good that you blocked the girl. You should. I don't know why you talk to fat girls. Not really. Not something I understand. Al the dog says, Nick, how's Al doing? He's doing great. Chinese Zodiac says he'll never talk about impeachment. Spit cereal. Yeah. Here we are. Princess Amunda says the feel of no groiper rape in YouTube Rewind. Yeah, I was troubled by the lack of groipers. in the YouTube Rewind. I really thought they would have had a Charlie Kirk Q&A. Maybe they'd have Jew Groiper. He's a little bit more kosher, but sadly, no Groipers, no America First. That's okay. Steen says, greetings from Colorado. Been watching since May and really enjoying the show. Well, thanks. Glad you enjoy. Chef Big Dog says, here's the gift tax from my birthday yesterday, my first time turning 17. Don't make fun of me just because you prestiged 17 three times. I'm actually very cool. Well, thanks for the gift tax. Happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. 17, it's a good year. Enjoy it while it lasts. You know, a lot of people, I've seen some people counter-signal this. I forget who, but I saw somebody was like, dude, don't listen to people who say that your best years are when you're a teenager. No, shut up! Those were the best years. Those are the best years. I know, it's, you know, you have different stages in your life, and there are good things about the different stages, and there's bad things about, you know, but I think everything's a little bittersweet. Everything's got, you know, not to be a centrist, but I mean, you know, there's different things to enjoy. Every period in your life has sort of a different texture, but I'll say that there's something about youth. It's hard to explain. There's something innocent about it. There's something sort of untouched, undisturbed about, you know, your younger years. And I know it's very trite and it's somewhat cliche, but it's very true, you know, and maybe specifically for me, because I turned like 18 and then you know who started a gun for me. It was like I turned 18 and then it was Charlottesville and Secret Recordings and Cassie Dillon and all this, you know. So maybe for me it was particularly pronounced. It was like, okay, you're 18, now it your John Wick poster, and now it's John Wick poster mode. But you know, certainly I would say enjoy 17. It's a good year, and you only get to be an adolescent for about 4 years, and then you're an adult for the rest of your life. And I know everybody says that, but there's a lot of truth in this. Not to say you can't enjoy your 20s, not to say you can't enjoy your whole life, really, but it is to say that it's like these four, you know, I would say maybe the time from your 14 to the time you're 19, you got like 5 years of adolescence, and then you got to go to work, and then, you know, and then it's just mundane. So then you're just, then you're just hanging out in bars with people you're not even really sure you like that much, in towns, you know, and you're... I don't know. That's just the way it goes eventually. Let's see. Elevated Squirrel, but happy birthday. Not to blackpill you, but you're living in the golden year. Enjoy. Elevated Squirrel says, heard you mention Saturn last night. Yeah, Saturn check. Well, I've been dropping these sort of like subtle esoteric red pills. If you don't get the Saturn stuff, you're just not going to get it. Saturn and the hexagon and the cube and adrenochrome and vampires, and it's just a lot that I can't really say. I would come off a certain way. We're trying to ease people into these things. Some people still believe that Democrats are running the media, just to give you an idea. They're not ready for the 9/11 memorial and you know, Poseidon and all this. They're not ready for it yet, okay? Trust me, I know the relevant facts, but we're trying to ease people in. Look at the reaction to the cookie question. You think they're ready for the structure on Saturn's North Pole? Really? Anyway, Boopers says, this is my favorite nightly satire comedy show. Me too. Hey, me too. Odu Man says, happy Independence Day to all my Finnish Nikas. Oh, happy Finnish Independence Day. Didn't know that was going on. Congrats. Al the Dog says, Nick, today my GF got Chick-fil-A, but then she decided she didn't want her sandwich, and I got to eat it later. Still think being single is cool? Yeah. Yes, actually. Yeah. Femoid buys Chick-fil-A and doesn't want it. You eat her leftovers. Yeah, like a dog. Just get your own Chick-fil-A sandwich. But, yeah, I honestly, look, you know, a lot of people give me crap for this. They're like, oh, you're Catholic? You're living a, you know, you have Catholic sexual morality? You're living your life consistent with Catholic social teaching? Yeah. And you know what? I think there's a lot of perks to it as well. I'm not really ready for a femoid to come in, stepping on my toes, intruding on the studio, intruding on the lifestyle, you know? Some femoid's going to say, I really don't like the way you talked about women. And I really don't like when you talk about domestic violence and cramping my style. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but I know a lot of people. Look, I'm not going to name any names. But I know a lot of people, they get a GF or they're simping a little bit. It just changes the dynamic. I don't want to say any more. I don't want it to get too specific, but it just changes the dynamic, you know? I'm living the gamer lifestyle. It's very busy. I'm a Groip War general. I've given my life to the cause, at least for now. I don't really have time for some femboy to call me up and be like, so today my boss was like yelling at me and it was just like really unfair. I just don't have patience for it. Just don't have time for that. You know, I'm trying to save the white race. I don't have time for that. Let's see. Yamato says, do you consider Latin America to be Western? No. How in any way, shape, or form is Latin America Western? RA says, Nick, no, I will not discuss impeachment. French voice a few moments later. LOL, on the bright side, at least we didn't have a cartel war breakout because you said nothing was happening. P.S. Daily reminder, you're the best. Well, thanks. It's true, I am the best. Yeah, I know. I said I wouldn't talk about impeachment, but, you know, something newsworthy happened with it. I don't cover the day-to-day, you know, advances and different moves and things, but, you know, it's kind of a big deal today, so... There's nothing else. Boring. Hello, boring week department. We're trying to make it fun, but hello, boring sucks. But thanks. Jacob says, when's the next merch drop? Soon. This has just been such a... I know I keep saying it, and I don't know if people don't believe me, but you should see my to-do list. The things I've got to do, the days I've been having, it's like... Over the summer, I was kind of like, wake up, game, you know, or I didn't even wake up. I'd be up all night, sleep all day, game, eat burger, whatever. But lately, it's like, wake up, phone calls, you know, doing stuff on my computer, running errands, conference calls, whatever. So it's been a lot. You know, I never understood how people could be busy. I never understood the grind, but now I get it. So Groiper merch is coming. I think we're going to try and get some stuff out before Christmas. But we're going to have to act very quickly because it's already the 5th. But yeah, we're going to be working on a new merch drop. The store is back up, by the way. It's merch.nicholasjfuentes.com. That is the link still, right? Let me just double check because it's like... You know how it goes. Yeah, it's merch.nicholasjfuentes.com, and you can get all the sweatshirts, t-shirts, all that stuff. But there's going to be some new stuff coming soon. Mike says, Nick, loved your bit on the 2019 YouTube Rewind. Thoughts on JF getting money from Epstein? My bit on YouTube Rewind. You sent this in at 7:26. I didn't even give my thought on it at that point. Thoughts on JF getting money from Epstein? I think it's very conspicuous. You know, I think anybody getting money from Epstein, it's a little suspect. Doesn't it make you think? You know, a lot of people call me, oh, I work for the globe. I work for the moon. I work for aliens. I work for China. I work for Iran. I work for Steve Bannon, whatever. But like, this guy gets 25 grand from Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, nobody says boo about it, really? Let's see. Elgato says, Groypers, don't give little Jesus such a hard time on Twitter. He's fighting his demons. He needs our support. Anyway, thank you for all you do, King. God bless. Okay, I knew this would come up. You know, here's what I'll say about this. We have always maintained on the show, obviously, that everybody is a sinner, right? And that is the lesson of the Bible, is that man is fallen, our nature is fallen, and people sin. That is why we have confession. That is why we have grace from God. You know, it's only through the grace of God that we will be brought to heaven, not on our own. All of that said, it's pretty clear in the Catholic teaching that you have to be trying. You know, you do have to be trying. All these people, I'm reminded of when people talk about Jesus Christ walking with prostitutes. Well, they weren't prostitutes when they were walking with Christ, were they? No, they weren't sinning. He said, sin no more, right? So, that said, if people had things in their past, if people are struggling with things, okay, I get it. But promoting things, looking for people to enable bad behavior, we have to be guarding against that. And so I'll say, you know, and I sort of feel bad because these like little dramas happen with people that aren't like major e-celebrities, and I talk about them on a big platform. It's really not fair, but you know, people are asking for my take. People are public. This is how it goes. And I'll say, look, you know, I met little Jesus. I like the guy, but what I'm hearing from him is he wants people to enable bad habits, you know, because there's sort of this very, and I don't want to be nasty about it, I haven't talked to him personally yet, but the messaging that I see from him is sort of like, well, I'm struggling with it, I want to help people who are also struggling, and I'm not perfect, and so on, but at the same time, it's, I'm not trying to stop this, I'll stop when I'm ready, I do this, and just don't get on my case, and if you're not on board with this, you just don't like me enough. And to me, you know what that sounds like to me is you're looking for people to enable you. You're looking for people to say, oh, you know, you're openly a degenerate. Oh, you're promoting degeneracy. Oh, well, that's okay because you're struggling and I'm your friend and I want to be supportive of you. Well, you know, I don't support pornography. I don't support homosexuality. I don't support people that shamelessly or proudly engage in that. And, you know, if he's being real, telling everybody what he's into and whatever, well, I'm being real and telling you that I don't support that. And I don't think, and it doesn't sound like, he's trying to get straight. Doesn't sound like he's trying to get right. It sounds like he's looking for validation, looking for and people that are going to enable that. People are going to say it's not that big of a deal. Minimizing it. You can't minimize it. You know, at the end of the day, what is right about Catholicism is you must acknowledge you are a sinner. I am a sinner. I am sorry. Please forgive me. That is Catholicism. But this kind of, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not that bad. I'm working on it. Well, in the big picture, no, 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 no. If you've read the gospel, Jesus Christ doesn't say, well, I mean, if you mess up a little bit, you're okay. No, that is not. I don't know, again, I don't know what gospel these people are reading, but Jesus Christ was only on board of people totally repentant, totally trying, right? And that's what Catholicism is. I sinned, I am sorry, please forgive me. It is not, I sinned, but I'm working on it, I sinned, but it's not a big deal, I sinned, but I don't really see why it's that bad, I sinned, but look at all these other sins I've overcome. No, 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 wrong, wrong. And so this is where there is a little bit of a rub between the different religions. I know a lot of Protestants are sort of loose on this, this personal relationship, and that's exactly the problem, because people don't hold themselves accountable. You know, Protestantism is based on the private self, on the individual, an individualistic connection, individualistic interpretation, a subjective interpretation. And when it is subjective, people can kind of cut themselves some slack. Oh, hey, you know, I don't have to go to a priest to talk to God. I can talk to God myself. And you know what? I talk to God and God's on board with all my degenerate shit. Yeah, see, that's sort of the rub. That's maybe the difference. That's kind of why it's a little bit critical. At least from my perspective, you know, I am Catholic. That is my belief. I'm, you know, we want to have brothers in Christ and everything. But if people are out there trying to minimize or enable pornography use, I don't know how you got confused and wandered into our side of things. You know, and I see he's like all bent out of shape. He's like, oh, everyone's attacking me. I don't know why. Why is everyone attacking me? I made it the Groiper anthem. The Groipers who called out Rob Smith for promoting and being openly homosexual. And when I came out as, you know, being in favor of porn and all this, everyone's attacking me. Why is everyone attacking me? They must not be my real friends. It's like, what's the thought process there? What's the thought process? And, you know, again, I met the guy. I like him. Maybe I should have talked to him personally, but somebody asked in the super chat. This is my position on all this. But that's that. Let's see. Jacobs is waiting until 30s to having kids is a bad idea. Yeah, I agree. Chip Wilson says, applied for the GLS event. Hope to see you there, big guy. if not, Groiper meetup at CPAC it is. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks. Yeah, I can't really comment too much on the application process, but sure. Turd Forager says Nancy Pelosi isn't fooling anyone. She is a Moloch worshiper in Christian clothing. She advocates for abortion while claiming herself to be a practicing Catholic. Yeah, that's totally true. Let's see. Patty McGill. Oh, it's been a long time. She says Gran Torino is a... Okay, this is just very vulgar and gross. She says Irish built America, but we are united with... Okay, she's going to disrespect Mediterraneans. Yeah, I'm just not reading that. Moonman says, why are you associating with Milo for? Has Nick turned on us? Yeah, see, this is the kind of... this is the kind of doubt that is being spread. We're going to come on the show. I love this. It's like, here I am tirelessly every day talking about all our issues, and I'm going to go on Milo's show to talk to Milo and Milo's audience about the same issues. He's turned on us because I'm taking our views mainstream, because I'm taking our views to a new audience. How does that make any sense? Right? If I was invited, for example, to go on, I don't know, if I was invited to go on Sean Hannity, you know, Sean Hannity's a Zionist. I think he's in favor of legal immigration. Sean Hannity's the number one cable news show. I'm pretty sure the number one cable show, period. Would it be cucking? Would it be turning on everybody if I went on Sean Hannity and said, oh, you know, here's the real stuff on demographics. Here's the real stuff on Israel and the Jewish lobby and so on. Or do people understand, you know, maybe that'd be a good idea. Exposure, mainstream, whatever. But when I go on Milo's show, he's going on Milo's show. Is he turning on us? Why are you associating? And look, Milo stuck up for the Groipers. He said nice things about us. And he's going to give a platform for us to explain what we're about, for us to explain what America First is about and so on. What exactly is the problem with that, right? I don't understand where the grievance comes into play. I'm not going to go on the show to say, oh, everything's okay, mass immigration's okay. I'm going on the show to say, look, we're America First, and we think that there's a racial component to demographics, and we think Israel's responsible for these wars, and we think, you know, homosexuality's degenerate and wrong and so on. And I think people, when they watch the conversation, I think they'll understand why this is a positive development. But when we hear this kind of talk, and I'm glad somebody brought this up, you know, because I did a little bit of a preface earlier on in the show and explained a lot of this, but I'd be very wary of people that do this kind of thing. Associating with mainstream people is cucking. Associating with mainstream people is turning on us. Associating with mainstream people is selling out. What's the end game then? In other words, what is the message? Don't mainstream your message. Don't get more exposure. Don't normalize your opinions. Stay isolated. Stay ghettoized. Stay on the fringe. What's the end game for people that are saying this? I don't know. I think it's very suspicious. So You know, judge me by what I say on the show. I don't understand what's complicated about that. Boo says Jimmy Dore would not touch the Biden leg hair video. Why? I don't know who Jimmy Dore is. Let's see. Anon says, inside of you are two ancestor wolves. One is pagan, one is Christian. Both are racists. I don't think there's any pagan in me. What is that from? I think that's from something. Anon says, don't accept any drinks from Milo. Yeah, I'm way ahead of you on that one. Jacob says, interview with Milo. You're out of the movement. Yeah, there it is. Name says, you might say some kind of plan deniers, plan revisionism going around, spouting hateful plan denial rhetoric, saying things like, did the Groyper War even happen? Is Charlie Kirk even getting groiped? It's true. You're a plan denier. It might have been tongue-in-cheek. It might have been a joke, but you don't joke about the plan, all right? Yeah, some very virulent plan denialists. They call themselves plan revisionists. They say, well, we don't deny that a plan happened. We just simply dispute some of the key details of the plan. Oh, okay. Way to obfuscate it. Plan denier? You're just a plan denier. That guy's a plan denier. Fire from his job. Call his boss. Kick him out. And they're, you know, I hear all these people and they try to couch their real views by saying, well, we don't deny that there is a plan. We just deny that the plan is systematic by Nick Fuentes. We just deny that the plan entails this many Groypers and that the Groypers are going to Q&As in this fashion, that Charlie Kirk goes into a Q&A and he's expecting a question from in a certain format, but it's in another format. And I'm like, you're a denier. You just hate the plan. You just hate the plan. You're an anti-planite. That's what I say. And you shouldn't be able to work in this country because of that. That's all. It's that simple. Let's stop beating around the bush. There can be no place for plan denialists in the Republican Party. I won't have it. Let's see. Honestly, the cookie thing was such a positive development. A lot of people gave me shit about that. They're like, oh, you shouldn't say that kind of thing. And Wignats were like, oh, you have bad optics. People who don't understand the plan don't understand what a boon the cookie thing was. Honestly, I thought that was perfect. For reasons which maybe I can explain later. You know, like I said about Kathy Zhu. At the time, a lot of people didn't get why I was associating with Kathy Zhu. And then I think people understood eventually. But it's the same thing with the cookie thing. Maybe in time I could tell you sort of the four-dimensional chess there. But trust me. Trust the plan. Henry Yeats with a huge super chat. Wow, thank you so much. He says, counter-signaling conversations with well-known people is silly. We want as many people as possible to hear what we have to say. Nick, I have sent about $4,000 to you this year under many different account names. I trust the plan because you have never been wrong. God bless. Wow. Well, if that's, oh, I didn't know that. If that's many different names, that I don't know what to believe anymore now. Fake people, they're all the same mastermind. Well, hey, thank you so much for the huge super chat. Thanks so much for everything this year. You know, 2019 coming to a close. Thank you so much for your support. Obviously, couldn't do the show without super chats. I mean, you know me, I never ask for money. We rely on people just being generous, trusting the plan, understanding what's going on. So I do appreciate that. And I think that, you know, your word carries a little bit of weight there. Unless, of course, you're China. Unless, of course, you're Chinese. You know, maybe somebody on Twitter is furiously typing, oh, this, so one of these big Chinese donors just outed himself endorsing the Milo trip, right? But, I mean, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. To counter-signal associating with big names, mainstream people, I question the motivation. I question, you know, if it's not malicious, what the thought process is, and then I question if it is malicious, if that is sort of bad faith actors trying to poison the well and trying to say, no, you can only be with the bad people, only be with the fringe people, only be on the outside, never go on the inside, never be mainstream, never get normalized. You know, that to me is very suspect. So, but thank you very much. I do appreciate it. God bless. You're obviously a plan truster. You get it. And look, people that don't trust a plan are just going to look like idiots. I can only argue so much. I can only say so much in public about the plan. But just as with Groyper Wars, people who doubt will continue to be made fools. But thanks so much. Eddie Cade says, I like hand-tossed pizza, but not hand-tossed salad. I agree. That's kind of interesting. Nick A says, Halo Reach custom minigames make cozy streams, King. I'll keep that in mind. Maybe I'll play with Beardson. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. I have some kind of a cough today. I think my throat's just dry or something. Inner City Democrat says, Nick, at the start of the show, let's see if the Super Chats are better this time. Charitable long response to a mediocre Super Chat. Sanity slowly waning. Nick, at the end of the show, you're cringe. Banned. Bye. That's how it is. Because you see, it doesn't start out that way, but over like an hour and a half, my patience just like evaporates. My physical condition evaporates over the show. You know, either my nose starts to itch, my voice starts to go, I get hungry, you know, so physiologically it's an endurance game. And also the chats diminish in quality. We just start to get $2 shit posts, you know, one after the other. So it's an endurance contest. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Eric says, we will replace you. Your grandkids are going to be groypers. Hell yeah. Joe says, Jacob Wall on Telegram, ethno-nationalism is fine for Jews in Israel and is not compatible with the United States of America. Get over it. When are you going to disavow this Jewish supremacist? I don't do gay disavowals. So a lot of people are asking, it's so funny to me. Everybody on the left or left of me says, you need to disavow this, you need to disavow that, or you need to disavow Nick Fuentes. And then from the Wignats, I get, you need to disavow this person, you get to disavow that person. I don't do the disavowal game. I don't do the disavowal game with people who are hardcore. I don't do the disavowal game, you know, I disavow. Disavowing is gay, you know. I do it ironically a lot. Oh, yeah, okay, I disavow. But I've never done a serious, you know, I think that's cringe. And I think Jacob Wall is entitled to his own opinions. I think that is an opinion held by a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of Jewish supremacy, frankly, from Zionists that aren't even Jewish. Not to say that it doesn't come from Jews as well, but I mean, I think you see it across the board. And I disavow Jewish supremacy for sure. But Jacob Wall's entitled to his opinion. And I think at the very least, he's open and honest about it. In that sense, he's our MVP. He thinks he's helping his own cause by saying that he's our MVP. And honestly, people take the bait. He says this stuff to bait people into engaging with his content. Don't you get that already? You know, these people are... A lot of groypers just don't get it when it comes to Jacob Wall. They'll put out a bait post, liberals reply, and they're like, oh, I baited them, whatever, that's funny. Jacob Wall says, Jared Kushner should be the Shah of Iran, and then the groypers go crazy. And it's like, really? Do I really need to explain to you why he puts things like this out? He says, oh, Jewish nationalism is great for me, but not for America. I mean, that's probably unironically what he believes, but he also says that in a sensational way to attract attention from us, and then you give it to him. So, I don't know. Maybe there is something to that IQ thing, right? Heavy Wash says, we out here farting on Asians. I don't know what that means. Kaka says, we grow stronger with every victory. Who's next? Agree. Lethal Brawler says, yo, my dad's illegal immigrant employee is having an anchor baby on the way. Total black pill. Were you not aware that illegal immigration is happening? CIA defector says, YouTube engineer, let's take a look at the top videos of 2019 here. PewDiePie Hitler tribute compilation, Jewish blood ritual documentary. Well, to be fair, I don't think those are the top videos of 2019. But yeah, I guess that's funny to think about. Yeah, right, says, why a Christian associating with a gay Jew blackmailer? Yeah, here we go again with the association, associating with. It's the same thing. It is the same thing that they say about Michelle Malkin and me, right? Young Americans Foundation says to Michelle Malkin, why are you associating with a Holocaust denier? Don't you understand that this is a subversive game? That they're saying, we cannot have a big tent movement. On that side, they're telling the mainstream people, don't associate with the America First people. And from the Wignats, we're hearing America First cannot associate with the mainstream. So what do they both have in common? Controlled opposition on the right and controlled opposition, I guess, on the whatever, the hard right, whatever you want to call it, the Wignats. They're both saying that America First cannot become normalized. Very curious why Jared Holt and Young America's Foundation and Ben Shapiro are all saying essentially the same thing, but just from a different perspective, the same thing as the people over here. I find that very interesting. Why are you associating with this guy? Because we are playing the game of politics, and in politics, you need to build a coalition, you need allies, you need people that can help you, right? We are building infrastructure, we are building a movement, we are building a mass movement, and we need allies. We need allies that are mainstream, we need allies to show broader audiences that we are not extremists, that we are legitimate, because that is the perception created by the mainstream media. So if you don't understand that, we're going to leave you behind. Honestly, because I don't play to appease people that are saying, oh, you can't associate with so-and-so. I am playing to win. I am playing to mainstream and normalize our views about demographic change, Christianity, Israel, and the broader you-know-who lobby. That's what I'm playing for. What are you playing for? George Sears, this is Political Juice, did a five-hour video about you and disavowed us as Groypers. I used to like his content, but he just doesn't get it. He's got a solid fan base. Maybe worthwhile. Trust the process. I don't know who this is, but I'll check out the video, I guess. Crisp Slacks, does everyone want to talk about Nick Fuentes, but ain't nobody talking about Martin Cabela? I think a lot of people are talking about Martin, but yeah, he's pretty cool. Based Leafs, says, do you have an opinion on the American petrodollar? What about it? Michelle says, click the like for Nick's video. Okay, thanks. Grand Theft Auto says, did you see Buttigieg get bloiped by BLM? I didn't see the bloiping, no. Blunt Optics says, Nick, will you ever greenlight the installation of Groyper insurgencies at the universities we attend? Let us spread our tentacles. There might be some more on that very soon. I'll just say trust the plan. But I've never thought of that. Thomas says, King, you're not showing up in my subs, even though I'm subscribed and I have the bell checked. These days are numbered on YouTube. In a lot of cases, it's just like a glitch, honestly. Maybe there is legitimate suppression, maybe not. But I think we all know the game that's being played. It shouldn't really surprise anybody. But thank you for telling me that. I had no idea YouTube was giving me a hard time. Based Leaf says, whites have enslaved the poor Jewish people into doing all of our politics and media for us. Who is the real goy here? Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, I guess. Name says, hello and welcome to Taco Bell. Would you like the minced beef, bean, salsa, corn tortilla with cheese and guac? Or would you like the minced beef, bean, salsa, corn tortilla with cheese and guac? Yeah, I mean, that's accurate. It's so true about Taco Bell. It's just all the same shit. I got kind of tired of it for that reason. It's all the same ingredients, just reconfigured in different, you know, gordita, chalupa, crunch wrap, taco, burrito. It's all this, exactly. It's minced beef, lettuce, tomato, sour cream, cheese, and a tortilla. Either it's a hard or a soft shell, but I mean, that is correct. Patty McGill says, be Catholic, you're going to hell. Yeah, true. Zero Bias says, confession, I am the boomer. Whoops, scroll down too far. Who was I reading? Confession, I am the boomer gamer snuggle fresh. I live jobless with my girl after moving out of my mom's house. My bro is an alpha vet. Am I cringe? You're cringe for being a boomer. And if you're not married and you're cohabitating, that's cringe. But other than that, no, not really. I think that's pretty based, honestly. Being a gamer, pretty based. Studio IKN says, Mindy just responded to the debate poster positively. Fuentes versus Robinson on? I don't know, maybe. I blocked her after a while. She kept just shitting on me in DMs, and I'm like, I just don't really have the patience for this. She's like the stupidest person in the world. For example, I'll read you some of our DMs. Let me see if I can find them. Let's see, when would be the last time we talked? Okay, here. So I said, hey, what does your availability look like this week to do the debate? She said, depends on the day, but I can Skype it in or I'm in LA. So I said, what does your availability look like? She said, depends on the day. That's kind of what I was asking. I said, okay, but what day though? I'm saying, what days and times are you available? She says, I can carve out a window any day with notice. Oh, great. I believe an Anomaly offered to moderate, and he's a very fair and open conservative to do so. Is that okay with you? I said, yeah, that's fine. She said, you do understand, since your followers do not, that I never did porn. I was topless in a few comedies, but I've never even been seen naked. Okay. She's never been seen naked, just topless. Yeah, okay. It was a lie spread by Ali because he was paid to defame me. He already admitted that to other conservative pundits. I said, that's interesting. Sort of how, like, you tell people that I denied the Holocaust when I was actually joking. She said, you made shitty comments about the Holocaust and passed it off as joking. I never actually did porn. See the difference yet, bub? I said, it's about engaging in good faith, but clearly you don't understand that because you are stupid. She said, keep thinking that I'm stupid, bub. I said, okay. And then she's just shitting up the DMs. She's saying, oh, blah, 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 you know, your followers are jerks, and blah, 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 you're racist, you're an incel, blah, blah, blah. So I just blocked her. I said, I don't need some stupid whore blowing up my DMs with her inane bullshit. So I just blocked her. But, yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll open up the DMs again, we'll set it up, but she's just really a big pain in the ass to deal with. She's just this, like, Jewish whore roasty. And I don't know. I'm just gonna be a dick to her. I don't even feel the need to be nice. She's shown me no respect, no civility, no courtesy, no good faith, no consideration. So I'm just gonna fuck with her. You know, I'm just gonna mess her stuff up. George says Joshua versus Ruiz 2. Who you got? I don't know what that is. Chime says love your energy and poise, Nick. Fully trust in your leadership, King. Isn't it possible Senate GOP will pull mainstream Democrat runners into the Senate to keep them tied up off the campaign trail? Yeah, I mean, that's possible. But I don't know if that'll really have a significant impact because I don't think the campaign, or rather, I don't think the impeachment trial will go after the primary, the conventions. The conventions are over the summer. I don't see this getting dragged out to the summer. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think that's likely. And really, it's the general election that matters. So, yeah, I've heard that before, that it could work to Trump's benefit, because if he has the impeachment trial, then Elizabeth Warren will have to go back, Bernie Sanders will have to go back, and that'll free up Buttigieg and Joe Biden. But honestly, I don't know if that'll have a huge... I really don't believe that'll have a massive consequence. I guess we'll have to wait and see, though, that that is something that people have talked about. Clown Worlds is not playing as Venice in Civ 5. Cringe. Yeah, I don't do the one city thing. That seems kind of cringe to me. Jonislav says, was carpooling from my wagey job and the driver put on Little Ben. One of his ads was shilling for a cookie delivery. When he asked why I was laughing, I just answered, you wouldn't get it. Care to share with me? You wouldn't get it. Can you put on That's Life Now by Frank Sinatra? Thanks. That's pretty funny. Orphan says Muhammad might be number 10 on the list for most popular boy's name, but it is number 1 on the list for most popular terrorist name. Oh, that's a very nice boomer joke. The Muhammad number 1 name thing to me is a little bit misleading. I mean, I get it, but you got to understand that, like, all the Muslims name their sons Muhammad. So it's like in America, you know, we'll name the kids Matthew or Jack or John or James or Alex, or, you know, whatever. And all of the Muslims name their kids Muhammad. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. It does say something about the country, but it's not like, I don't think it's a grand slam that people think it is. It does indicate that there's a demographic shift, because if you didn't have any Muslims, it wouldn't be happening. But, you know, if like a million people name their kid Muhammad, and they're all, you know, if a million Muslims all name their kid Muhammad, and, you know, white people are naming their kids all these different things, well, I mean, you could see why that would be the most common name, or it would be disproportionately represented. Jared says, Cassie Dillon is such a boring, basic bitch. Here's $5 for pretending to be nice to her. Don't think that is enough. How about a free trip to Israel? Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. She is, yeah. And that's the bottom line, is these people just suck. They're not talented. They're not funny. They're not special. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Cassie Dillon is not a special person. She is not a gifted person. She is not anybody who people would turn their heads and say, wow, like, you're really something. That really made me think. You're really different. She is just fundamentally an unexceptional mediocrity. She's actually worse than mediocre. She's subpar. If you've listened to her content, it's not even competent. She can't get more than like 1,000 people to listen to her podcast. That's because she's a talentless, uninteresting hack. She is somebody who serves the system. And that is why we are unthreatened by these people. We're only threatened in the sense that there's a lot of them and they're in positions that are more powerful than us. But I mean, everybody sees that these people on an objective basis are, I mean, they just suck objectively. Let's see. Gregory says, what religion do you pick for civilization? Usually Catholicism, but I don't know. Sometimes I switch it up. Nathan says, hi, Nick. Please watch. It's of a Muslim woman giving a speech in Sydney after Christchurch. Please watch what? A video? Minuteman says, hey, Nick, let's chat. Michelle Malkin tweeted the story. I was jailed for... Here we go. I was jailed for 2 nights because my professor told the judge, I'm an alt-right incel. You were named in court. I'm Jewish and live above a synagogue, by the way. Oh, so a Jewish person asking to come on my show? I don't know. Send me an email. I don't do guests on the show, so... I also don't love when people invite themselves on. Hey, Nick, let's have a chat. I'm kind of in the news right now. Well, I haven't done a guest in like 20 months, so I don't know. But shoot me an email. Maybe we'll talk. Joe the King says it was traditionally been the woman that leads the man astray, says VV. I don't know who VV is, but it's true. Rusty says, I've watched conservatives, right-wingers, and conspiracy YouTubers for a long time. I've watched just about everyone. You are by far the most entertaining, informative, and truthful. Never stop. Please do another talk with Molyneux soon. Well, thanks. All of the above is true, and thanks for the big super chat. Yeah, don't think a talk with Molyneux is going to happen anytime soon. I don't know if you have been following this very closely, but he disavowed me on Twitter, and he unfollowed me, so... Even if he invited me, I don't think I'd do a talk. I think I'm done with him. I don't think he's a very serious person. And I don't think I'll do a talk with him ever. So, you know, maybe he'll regret it. Because somebody like Stefan Molyneux is hedging his bets. He's saying, I don't think this Groyper thing is going to go anywhere. So I'm going to treat them like shit. And I'm going to sell out for Mike Cernovich and Jack Posobiec. I think is the... I'm going to sell out for the American Priority Conference. But... when we, or if we become the mainstream, or if we become a big deal, and he's going to come around, oh, hey, listen, blah, 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 I'm not going to be listening. You know, I think these people have had a chance to show us who they are and what they're about, and we have to listen to them. Angel of Wrath says, maybe he's a Protestant. Once saved, always saved. Yeah, right. What a load of crap. Leo says, friendly reminder to not mess with Ozzy Osbourne. Other people call him the Prince of Darkness. Well, I think that's Vox Day you're talking about. Better be careful. Jeff says, please wish my son, Bent Muscle, a happy birthday. He's a strong boy. Thanks, Nick. Yeah. Happy birthday, Bent Muscle. Let's see. Patty McGill says, Holy Father, Pope Francis is the vicar of Christ. Obey God, be baptized Catholic. Yeah, yeah, big agree. Rusty says, okay, so what happened with Molyneux? Could you give a quick recap? Well, I just explained it, but thanks for the big super chat. Yeah, he unfollowed me. He disavowed me. It's pretty normal stuff. King Idub says, what is your opinion of Benito Mussolini? I think he's kind of based. Disavow fascism, obviously. Big, big disavow for fascism. But Benito, look, the Italians kind of have a respect for Benito Mussolini, even to this day. I'll just say that much. I think he's lied about a lot by the media. I think there's something going on in Italy, something special going on. You know, say what you will, but the trains ran on time. And something to be said for that. Alcibiades says, personally, I've always accepted you as mainstream. Zog is the freak show. Yeah, I understand this, but, you know, that's not really how the rest of the country sees it. Grandmaster Level says, I'm surprised you don't know who Jimmy Dore is. He used to work with the Young Turks and went off on his own. He tours the country and does a show on politics. Yeah, well, I don't know who he is. I've heard his name a few times before, but I don't know him. ASDF says, conservatism with cookie characteristics, yeah. Dax says, saw a crazy YouTube video. It's about something straight up saying exactly what you are saying about them. Stop saying juice. It is so fucking cringe. Just say Jews. Just say Jews. Why do you have to say juice? Do you think people like don't know what you're talking about? Do you think that's funny? Because it's neither of those things. It doesn't accomplish either of those things. Video is called Israel's New Racism. It's from like 2013. Wow, sounds really based. Nico says, what do you think of the IRA? Angloids stay mad. I'm not very well read about the IRA and everything that went on. And what is it? The troubles or whatever. I'm not really well read on that whole conflict. But, you know, look, I'm Irish, so kind of based. But I disavow terrorism, obviously. Mark Smith says, I love fat chicks. Pignats rise up now. Definitely an unironic disavowal for pignats and fat bitches. In Hot Water says, would love to see you on Compound Media with Kumia. Okay, another one of these. Thanks a lot. ASDF says, half of these people saying don't associate with X are probably unironic schizoids who think literally everything is a conspiracy. Well, other people have just bought into this idea that we have to be in a ghetto. We don't have to be in a ghetto. We do not have to be in a, and by ghetto, I mean the establishment would love for nothing more than for us to be completely isolated, completely cut off from the mainstream, completely fringe, not even attempting to make headway in the mainstream. That is what they want. Ultimately, my end game is for these views to become popular. I mean, isn't that the whole point? What do you think the point is? But to take these views, spread them to as many people as we can, persuade people, and convince them to see the world the way that we do. How do you think you do that? Reaching new audiences, having alliances, even with people you don't agree with, even with people you might not even personally like. Now, I'm not saying that about Lyle in particular. He's going to be hosting me. I want to be respectful to the host, but, and we're going to get into it. You know, he's going to grill me a little bit. I'm going to grill him a little bit. It's going to be a serious conversation, and we're not, it's not going to be a puff thing. It's not going to be, some fakery puppet show. We're going to have a legit conversation, but point being, we are trying to, at a national level, change the conversation, and that is what is required. And people that don't see that are either bad actors, or either bad faith actors, or they're just ignorant. But this is the same battle we had over optics. It's the same conversation. What are we trying to do? How are we trying to change the country? How are we going to accomplish our goals? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. That's what I'm asking myself when we make these kinds of decisions. So that's what I mean by trust the plan. Trust that I am somebody who knows the relevant facts, is trying to do something about it, and is thinking every day about practically, logistically, how it's going to happen. That's what trust the plan means. So a lot of people don't see everything that's happening behind the scenes. That's where the trust comes in. That's where you got to trust me. You got to trust. I've been doing this for a long time. You got to trust that, you know, we're fighting the good fight, right? RJ says, I know $2 super chats are the backbone of the cause, but is there some way we can donate directly to the plan without giving a portion of YouTube? Yeah, if you email me, I don't like to give out that kind of information publicly because I don't want to get deplatformed, but just shoot me an email because I know some people don't love the 30% cut. ASDF says, Reagan, Bush 41 and 43 had significant jumps in black approval, but it didn't translate into votes. Excuse me. I had a hiccup there. Only retards think that Trump will get their votes. Yeah, and that's all the polling shows us. Even black conservatives identify as Democrats. Even if you look at polling for Democrats that are conservative, or rather for blacks that are conservative on all the issues, they still vote Democrat. How do you think you get 97% blacks voting Democrat? Do you think all blacks are liberals? They're not. Some blacks are liberal, some blacks are conservative. There's probably not a lot of black conservatives, but virtually all of them vote Democrat. What does that tell you? So they could say they like the president. They could say whatever they want in the poll, but they always vote Democrat. So, yeah, it really doesn't make a difference. And everyone will see in 2020. Francois, his thoughts on Lil Rainbow. I don't really know him that well. ASDF says Jimmy Dore is based in Blue Pilled. Okay. Heisenberg says Juice. Oh, you got me. Dax says Super Chat didn't go through with Jews. Oh, okay, well, then fair enough. Maybe you just put a star there or an asterisk, but I just don't. It's a very Wignattish kind of phrase. I've never thought it was charming. Simp Exterminator says all these Democrats talking about Medicare for all wanted, Medicare for America. How about no immigrants? Nick Fuentes, 2019, senior quote check. That's a pretty good senior quote. It's true, though. It's true. Just shut down immigration. I don't really care about much else. I mean, I do care about other things, but I mean, that's kind of like, can we just do that, please? ASDF says, hello, fellow Groypers. We should disavow Milo because he's Jewish. Let's realign with Spencer. Yeah, right? I mean, that is the path that people want to see us go down, completely ignoring past events. Dashing Rogue says, what are your thoughts on Alexander Dugin and the whole Nazbol idea? I think Alexander Dugin is to Zionists. So it's sort of like a three-way analogy. Alexander Dugin is to Russia, is to the dissident right, as maybe Ben Shapiro or Bill Kristol is to Israel, is to the mainstream conservative right. I think there's some good stuff in there. I think he makes some good critiques of the current world order. and about politics in general. But ultimately, I think he's like a Russian asset. I mean, ultimately, I think he is. You look at some of his dealings with like the Turks and with Putin, and I don't think this is somebody who you can ignore these associations. And people have made the defense, well, you know, he's this political philosopher and he's engaged in politics. You know, that's how it used to be. Edmund Burke, I believe, was a politician. De Maistre was a politician. Bastiat was a politician. This is how it used to be. I think Goethe was a politician. Am I pronouncing that right? But I think in the modern day, it's a little different. So I would say, I mean, there's some interesting thought there. I haven't read very extensively what Dugin has to say. I've gotten sort of the Reader's Digest from friends of mine who are avid Duginists. They call me an Atlanticist. Atlanticist scum is what they call me. But I think he makes some good points. But generally, I don't think you ignore that association. Benjamin Keyes says, Big Money Wagey is PewDiePie. Yeah, it's possible. Name says, hello and welcome to Spencer's. Would you like the melted Swiss cheese roasted mushrooms? Okay, great. Thanks for that. But it looks like that was our last Super Chat. So that's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time we go live. Go to my website, NicholasJFuentes.com. Sign up for my email list. Sign up for my Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1 to follow me on Telegram. Remember, we could be facing another YouTube purge. It could happen on the 10th. It could happen sooner than that. It could happen after that. So I'm trying to shore up my alternative means of communicating with you in the event that that does. If I get kicked off YouTube, the only ways you're going to hear from me is Telegram and the email list. So the email list is NicholasJFuentes.com. It's right there on the homepage, and Telegram link is down below. And again, the email list I don't abuse. It will only be used in the event I get shut down. I don't sell it. I don't, you know, sell it to advertisers. I don't use it to push my shit. It's only like a last-ditch thing. And the Telegram is just like, I put a lot of Twitter-type stuff there. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to all our Super Chatters. Thanks to Henry Eats, I think deserves a special shout-out. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. And remember, I won't be here tomorrow, so I will see you on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and have a great rest of your evening.